Brian has asked us to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, first 12 verses. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let's kneel together for prayer.
Good evening. We greet each of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon topic or title tonight is The Fall of a Godly Man. The downfall or the fall of a godly man. In the text that Brother Andy read for us this evening, it says there that the examples or the pictures and the accounts portrayed in those first five books of the Bible were given to us as an example, as instruction for us today, for the church at Corinth at that time, and for us today, and that we can learn from them. Tonight we'd like to do a little Bible study on 1 Kings. If you'd like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, we'd like to look at a number of verses here, and we're going to have to move quickly to get over it in the allotted time. But it's a Bible study here of a man that doesn't have a name. He's just called the man of God. We'll see what we can learn from this text about this man of God, and maybe what we can learn that we don't get in and fall the same as he did. The downfall of a godly man. I ask you tonight, can a godly man fall? I think we know the answer is yes. Can a godly church fall? I think we know the answer is yes. We've seen it played out time and time again throughout history. Men who once were labored fervently for the gospel fall. Something trips them up and they fall. Churches who once stood for truth fall. We've seen it in our own friends and our own families. People that pledged to be faithful to God in the baptismal waters. They said, yes, I will be faithful. Yes, I'll turn my back on Satan. Yes, I'll change sides and follow Jesus Christ and declare him as my new king. But somewhere something happens and they fall. The account tonight is of one such man. A man of God who was a godly man. He obeyed God for a while, but then he disobeyed God and it led to his death. What can we learn about the man of God here? I'd like to start reading. It may be helpful to build some kind of background, and I don't want to get caught up in it because it takes a lot of time. But the setting of it, you're familiar with it. It's King Solomon had died. His son Rehoboam had taken the throne. And Rehoboam believed his peers, and he raised the taxes, and the northern kingdom rebelled and set up their own king, Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a wicked man. Scripture tells us the acts of Jeroboam caused all Israel to fall. And I want you to get in your mind just how wicked Jeroboam was and what the time was like. Jeroboam was afraid that the 10 northern tribes would go down and worship in Jerusalem and be drawn that way. So he set up two golden calves, one in Dan in the northern part of the northern kingdom, one in Bethel in the southern part. He put new temples, new altars. He set up a whole new priesthood that wasn't from the line of Levi as God commanded. He set up new dates and times for the feasts and the festivals. And he declared himself high priest. And he himself burned incense at the altar. I wanted you to understand just how serious and how dark these days were for Israel. Where in every God-ordained form of worship, Jeroboam perverted, didn't he? The system that God devised, the system that God appointed for the Jewish nation to worship, he tore down. God appointed forms, God appointed symbols, God appointed systems. And Jeroboam introduced perversions and introduced idolatry, the scripture tells us, and caused all Israel to fall. This was a setting where God sent the man of God, a prophet, to Jeroboam. Let's begin reading 1 Kings 12, verse 26. 1 Kings 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to the Lord, even to unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Here it's interesting. Verse 28 says he took counsel. I don't know who he took counsel from. Perhaps he took counsel in himself. I don't know. But he took counsel. Verse 29, and he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. You see, he set them up for convenience. He wanted it to be convenient for the people to worship. He wanted it to be easy. Verse 30, and this thing became a sin for the people, for the people went to worship before the one, even under Dan. And the people liked it. The people apparently bought into it. Verse 31, and he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And that's directly opposed to the command of God. The priesthood was to be made up of the tribe of Levi. 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. He even changed the dates and the times of the feasts of the festivals. And so he offered, verse 33, upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even the month which he had devised in his own heart. You see, he thought it up on himself. He devised the time in his own heart and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And he made himself a priest. That's how evil Jeroboam was. and the system that he devised. It was completely contrary to God, made to be convenient for the people. And into that kind of setting, God sends a prophet. And it's that man we want to look at this evening, chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah. That's important. Came a man of God out of Judah. Apparently there were no prophets, no godly prophets left in the northern kingdom. We know that scripture tells us when Jeroboam did all this that the priests, the Levitical priests left and went back to Jerusalem. Perhaps there were no godly men left in Judah, left in the northern kingdom in Israel, that God had to send a man out of the southern kingdom, out of Judah. And this man, it says in verse 1, came by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Came by the hand of God unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood at the altar to burn incense. This man of God was obedient. God told him to go. And he went. God told him to go to Bethel and to Jeroboam. And when he got there, Jeroboam was standing at the altar burning incense. In verse 2, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. This was a message from God, and the man of God was faithful. The man of God was faithful. He proclaimed the message that God gave him. It's interesting, isn't it, that he cried out against the altar and not against Jeroboam. He said, O altar, and pronounced a judgment against that idolatrous altar. It's interesting, too, that here he makes a prediction. Here he prophesies. And we know from Scripture that the test of a true prophet is if he prophesies true, if what he prophesies comes true. And here he prophesies that there's going to be a man of the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee, upon the altar, he shall burn the bones of these false priests. That happened exactly that way. 300 plus years later, Josiah, King Josiah, if you read about it at the end of 2 Kings, it's very interesting to read. He went to the sepulcher of these men, took their bones out of their graves, and he burned them on the altar. It came true. This was a godly man. He prophesied by God, the word of God, and he prophesied in truth. Verse 4. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold of him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. King Jeroboam didn't take it very well, did he? And he stretched out his hand to the people that were there with him, and he said, seize him, arrest this man, arrest this prophet. And his hand dried up. Whether he had a stroke or what happened, I don't know. It withered up. He couldn't use it anymore. And the altar, just as this faithful prophet prophesied, was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to God's word. He was a true prophet because what he prophesied came true. Verse 6. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. God, through this faithful prophet, restored the king's hand. Verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, he said, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou give me half of thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged to me by the word of the Lord, saying, and this is what God commanded him, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Here the kings wanted to pay the prophet back, and he said, come and eat with me. Come and be refreshed. And he said, I'll give you a reward for healing me. But the man of God was faithful. He stood firm against the temptation. He said, if you give me half of your house, I will not disobey God. You can give me anything you want. You can lure me any way you want, but I will not disobey God. Verse 10. And so he went home another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. He obeyed God. He was faithful. He was a man of God. He was a godly man. And how I wish the account ended here. The man of God victorious, faithful, triumphant, obedient. But it doesn't end here. It goes on. And he's going to disobey God. He's going to disobey God. And because of his disobedience, God sends a lion to kill him. How I wish that this account would end here in verse 9. That challenged me as I think of the many that start well and don't finish well. They start well and don't finish well. Through trials or tribulations or temptations or persecution or cares of the world, for whatever reason, they give up. They disobey God. They're led astray. You know, this man of God's story doesn't end here, and neither do ours. We may be faithful today. We may be victorious over sin today. But the scripture tells us, take heed lest we fall. Take heed lest we fall. Oh, man of God, take heed lest you fall. You might be sitting on top of the world today. You might be here as a victorious 30 or 40 year old. Have everything going for you. You're obedient to God. You're bringing your children up in the church. You're doing everything right. But scripture says, take heed lest you fall. You might be here as a 70 or 80 year old, thinking that you can kick it in neutral and coast. You have it made. Scripture says, take heed lest you fall. Your story isn't over yet. I often think of what Brother Merle told me. He often told the account of one of his mentors, Brother Sam Lehigh. He was a mentor of Brother Merle's in his youth. Brother Merle said he was the most godly man he ever knew. But at the end of his life, Satan was still trying to tempt him. Get him to think that it wasn't worthwhile. Get him to doubt his faith. The tempter doesn't give up. He's not giving up on this man of God here in the account tonight, and he won't give up on you. Take heed lest you fall. Now we're going to look at the downfall of this godly man. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. I want you to take note here of a couple things. This prophet was from Bethel. We know Scripture tells us that the godly priests of the tribe of Levi had fled to Jerusalem. But this prophet, this old prophet, was still in Bethel. And I assume participating in this new form of worship. And his sons were there. His sons must have been in the temple that day. Must have been there where they were making false worship that day, because they came and told him all the works that the man had God had done in Bethel. And the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God had went, which came to Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. And so they saddled the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Same temptation at the king, Jeroboam. Come home with me. Come home with me and eat bread. Verse 16, and the man of God speaking here, and he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again by the way that thou camest. He stood firm again, at least for a while. But in verse 18, this is the old prophet speaking. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, and he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And the man of God believed the lie. And verse 19. And so he went back with him and eat bread in his house and drank water. It's that simple. And the man of God fell. If we had time, and I thought of making the sermon a two-part, and I probably should have, because I'm rushing and I'm going to leave a lot out, I understand, but you can study it for yourself. Why did he believe this old prophet and fall for it? And he was able to reject King Jeroboam and stand. That's the question I have for you tonight. What caused the downfall of this godly man? Why could he stand against the king when the offer was even greater? Because the king offered him rewards. Why could he stand against the king and say, no, I will not disobey God? And yet here in verse 18, he fell and disobeyed God. Why? What thoughts are going through your mind? I wish it was a Bible study that you could call out what thoughts are going through your mind. I have, now until the time's up, I'd like to look at five reasons I believe that a godly man fell. Five things we can learn from this account to keep us from falling. Five things we can take heed lest we also fall. Number one, the man of God believed a lie. It says clearly in Scripture, the old prophet lied to him, and the man of God believed it. It's as old as time itself, isn't it? We think of Eve in the first temptation. She believed a lie when Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die." She believed it. She had two choices to make. She would believe God or believe someone or something else. Chose to believe the lie. You know, there's three people in this account that God says they took counsel. And none of them turned out very well. Jeroboam, it said that we read, he took counsel. Doesn't say who he took counsel from, but he took counsel. And he believed them. Rehoboam, we know, took counsel. He rejected the old men's counsel, but took counsel of his peers. He believed them. Didn't turn out very well for Rehoboam. And here the man of God takes counsel from an old prophet. Three failures, all because they believed a lie. There's so many warnings in Scripture about being deceived. It may be one of the greatest warnings in all Scripture. I didn't take time to look at that closely. About believing a lie, being deceived, deception. Believing a lie led to the downfall of a godly man. I ask you, what lies are you believing tonight? If you are, it'll lead to your downfall, just as certain as it did to this godly man. What lies are you believing? Number two, the downfall of the godly man. Came from a disregard for the commandments of God. Disregard for the commandments of God. The Word of God, His commandments, His directives, His judgments, His statutes, whatever you call it, needs to be held up high by the godly man. Needs to be held up high by the godly church. Here in our account tonight, this man of God heard directly from God. The command was clear. But so have each one of us. We have God's word. We can read it. It's clear. We hear through God's word directly from God. Every word was inspired, Scripture tells us. By the Spirit of God. The godly man here in our text heard from God. But he chose to disobey. And like Eve, he chose to believe man. Well, not Eve chose to believe Satan, but chose to believe someone other than God, is the way I should warn it, or something other than God. Are you doing the same thing? I warn you tonight about reason and about common sense. Maybe the man of God here thought common sense, what can it hurt? Does it really matter if I go home with this old prophet? Does it really matter just if I take a little bread and a little water and a little fellowship and a little rest? Does it really matter? What harm can it do? Isn't it just a small thing? You know, common sense Reason is not always reliable. It's not always reliable. But what is reliable is the Word of God. It's reliable. You can believe it. You can trust it. Matthew, our Lord, tells us, men shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What commandment of God, what part of the Word of God are you ignoring, writing it off, counting it as nothing? It led to the downfall of this godly man. It'll lead to your downfall eventually. Number three, the downfall of a godly man. He wasn't on guard from an attack within. What I mean is that King Jeroboam, the attack came from without. He withstood that. And he was able to say no. But when the attack came from within, he didn't see the danger. Look at verse 18. You see, the old prophet said, I am a prophet also as thou art. I'm one of you. You're one of me. We're the same. You can trust me. I believe the man of God here left his guard down. He felt safe. I'm just like you, the old prophet told him. But he wasn't. He wasn't. Not every prophet is a true prophet. Not every preacher preaches truth. Not every friend gives you good counsel. Not every family member gives you good counsel. Some of these things, because of our familiarity, we let our guard down. Beware of the attack within. I think that's the attack on the church today. The church for centuries could prosper against an outward attack, persecution. The church survived and prospered against that kind of attack. When Satan comes as a roaring lion, it's easy to see. But when Satan comes as an angel of light, as the great deceiver and the great deceptor, it's not easy to see. There are many warnings in Scripture. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're one of the group. The attack from within. The godly man here, I believe, fell because he let his guard down when the old prophet says, I'm just like you are. Come and eat with me. Number four, the man of God fell because he believed a new revelation, didn't he? And it's sweeping the church today. Oh, brothers and sisters, beware of those who come up with some new revelation that's contrary to the Word of God. See it there in verse 18. The old prophet gave him a new revelation. He said, an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee to thy house that he may eat bread and drink water. He should have known that that was contrary to the command of God. He should have known that. It should have stood out like a sore thumb. It was a new revelation. Whether it's true or whether it's false, whether an angel of the Lord did come to him. I don't believe it was an angel of the Lord because it says he lied. But maybe a spirit came to him. You know, we need to beware of a new revelation. Not every spirit is of God. Not every spirit that whispers in your ear is a godly, is the Holy Spirit. And we hear it all the time today. The Spirit led me. The Spirit led me. The Spirit will never lead you. Never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Never. If you hear the Spirit saying that, that is not the Holy Spirit. Many warning in Scripture about that. The one, of course, that comes to mind is 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world today. The downfall of this godly man is because he believed some new revelation that was contrary to the Word of God. Lastly, number 5. The downfall of a godly man comes when we think that our actions don't matter. How we live doesn't matter. This godly man had a consistent message, didn't he? He said, God told me. Consistently he talked about it through Scripture. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again by the way that thou camest. The message was true. The message was consistent. But what wasn't consistent was his actions. He had the message right, but he didn't live it out. He didn't live out God's commandments. Many try it today, don't they? We love Jesus, but they don't live according to his word. We're a follower, we're a disciple of Jesus. But their actions don't follow the message. We love Jesus. And that they live for their self. The godly man here had the message correct, didn't he? The man of God had the message correct, but his actions didn't line up with what he was preaching. Disobedience, even for the man of God, is a serious thing. Even for the man of God, disobedience is very serious. The disobedience led to the fall of man. He was killed by a lion. What about you? Do you want to stand guard over your faith? Do you want to stand guard over your homes? Do you want to stand guard over the church? Scripture says, learn. Learn from the Old Testament accounts. Learn from this man of God and don't fall into the same trap that he did. Beware of believing a lie. And lies are so subtle. But beware of believing a lie. Beware of disregarding the Word of God. Hold up the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. Beware of attacks from within. Many of the podcasts, many of the other things that we listen to, the books we read, They're not always truthful. And just because they call themselves a Christian doesn't make it so. Beware of an attack from within. Number four, beware of those claiming some new revelation that is contrary to the Word of God. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Number five, beware of ignoring the requirement of obedience. If you're going to call Jesus Lord, do what he tells you to do. Lessons from the downfall of a godly man. May God bless you.
Brother Brian gave us a good example from Scripture of a man of God that fell. And I had a lot of thoughts, if I can sort them out. I remember when I was baptized, it was quite a number of us. I can only think of maybe one besides myself that's in this particular church today, but a lot of them that were baptized, I think they didn't count the cost. You know, we hear about that sometimes. They love the world too much. Some took bad advice, like Brother Brian mentioned. They were deceived. They believed a lie. And as Brother Brian was speaking, I thought about the message this morning. I'd like to turn to that chapter, 2 Peter 1. I thought of that verse 2 of verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I know Brother Paul emphasized that we should have diligence to make our calling and the election sure. And he brought out the fact faith is our foundation, and if we want to grow in grace there, like in verses 5 to 7, you know, we need to apply ourselves. We need to give diligence and do it, you know, with abundance. But I think it all goes back to verse 1 there, 2 Peter 1. It talks about like precious faith. You know, something that's precious is very dear to us, and that like precious. One person doesn't have more faith than another person because it says it's like we all have it alike, and it's precious. And it, one reason it's precious is because, well, the main reason is because it's through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. But it's precious because he died for our sins, and we couldn't save ourselves. And I think if we have this precious faith, we will continue to hold fast to God and his word. And I'd like to thank Brian for bringing out this lesson to us and the message this morning. I meditated on it this afternoon some, and we have a lot to meditate on for this week. Let's stand for a closing prayer.